I was seeking the Lord before the year began, and I love to ask him about what that year might hold for us. And I was in Psalm 111 for the past 50 days. Today is day number 51, if you were counting from January the 1st. And Brother Allen made a testimony, or gave a testimony, about the Lord protecting his home when the fire could have consumed it. Well, he may be encouraged to know that it was on the 50th day, which was yesterday, that the Spirit of God fell on the 120 in the upper room, and fire came on them. But it was a greater fire than the natural fire. But the same Holy Spirit that came to equip them for the work of ministry is the same Spirit that was gracious and merciful to Brother Allen and brought freedom or protection for his place. And God is concerned about our persons and our property. And that's what we're going to be studying. Not only what I have, but who I am. And we're going to focus on those two things, because we tend to forget how God is concerned about us. We can never exhaust John 3:16, for God loved, no, God so, one little word, so, to such an extent, I cannot comprehend redemption's plan, as I was singing for you, why Christ should condescend to die for man. But you know what? That's a message that drew all of us to God. When we realized, as Brother Earl pointed out, we don't deserve it. Why should he consider you and me? That's why we love Brother Paul, who says, the love of Christ constraineth me.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. If that love doesn't melt us, something must be wrong with us to be so hard-hearted. But you get a glimpse of it, and we all are melted into tears. And we come to the place where we can say with Brother Paul, he loved me, and he gave himself for me, and we make it personal. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Lord led me into Psalm 111. And I believe there is prophecy in the Psalms, and all the Psalms are good anytime, anywhere, any place. God's word is a current word. Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't matter where you open the Bible, God is talking to us all the time. Maybe we don't get what he's saying, but after a while, if we are praying and seeking him, he will talk to us. And someone discovered that Psalm 48 had something to do with the year 1948 and Israel's independence. Psalm 67 had something to do with the 67 Six-Day War. Psalm 73 had something to do with the Yom Kippur War. And Psalm 91, we had Operation Desert Storm, the Gulf War, and our soldiers were focusing on that psalm, and it was the war in which there were the fewest casualties. And 7 months, and Saddam Hussein had to surrender. And so if we take that analogy, Psalm 110 had something to do with 2010. Psalm 111, 2011. Psalm 112, 2012. But remember, these psalms are good anytime. And I noticed here your beautiful scriptures. And when you look at the number 111, that's an interesting number, which we may not always understand what a number is saying, but one is a number of life and light. God is the life giver. How can you have life in any form without the one who is the source of life?
Amen.
Amen? So one is linked with life and the life giver. One is linked with light. On the first day, God said, help me. And there was what? Now, that was not sunlight. And that was not moonlight. And that was not starlight. That was a superior light to all of them. And the Bible says God is what? Light, and in him is? You know, every form of natural light casts a shadow. Is that right? Is that true? How would you like to walk in a realm of light in which there is no shadow? With him, there is no shadow. That is enough to cause you to wonder and ponder. And God is love. One short sentence, John the Beloved tells us. And I like to see 111 as speaking of life and light and love.
Amen.
And all I can do today is ask you to study those three words because they have something to do with us pertaining to ourselves. We are not only a physical being. We're first spirit, then soul, and what else? Body. You see it in that verse there? And it is not body, soul, and spirit, beloved.
No.
That is what a lot of people say, well, I'm a body and a soul, you know, and they forget the spirit. But you notice in that verse, what is the word that comes first? What comes after that? And what comes next? And is God just concerned about my spirit? Is he just concerned about my soul? Is he just concerned about my body? What is he concerned about? All of us. Shall we repeat that verse so beautifully expressed there? And I, the very God of peace, sanctify you. Holy, that means completely, right? And I pray, God, your whole or complete what?
Spirit
and soul and body be preserved how? Blameless unto how long? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you knew it or not, that verse has something to do with 111. And it will be good next year too. God's word is always current. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. If he, the Lord, is the same yesterday, when else? And how long? If that is true of the living word, guess what? It has to be true of the written word. Because the two go together. Praise God. Search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of whom? Me. How sad. Many search the scriptures to find faults and mistakes and criticize. But oh, beloved, when you search the scriptures diligently, God will reward the diligent seeker, and you will find the living word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God is one, and yet he's a plurality. And we were singing that beautiful song. You repeated the words for us, Brother Alan. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How can one be three and three one? You know, we're trying to rationalize God. But God is beyond our capacity to fathom. Yet we don't have to worry about defining God. God can take care of all the definitions. But the mystery of God is he's one, and yet he's three in one. Water is one substance in its liquid form. It's another substance in a frozen form. And a steam or gas is in another form. But it's the same water. You learn the spiritual through what? The natural. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Just as my spirit is not my soul, and my soul is not my spirit. But the three work together in harmony and unity. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And to put it easy, or in an easily understood form, with my spirit, I'm conscious of God. With my soul, I'm conscious of myself. With my body, I'm conscious of the world around me through my five physical senses. Beloved, we don't have to get into all kinds of speculation about our makeup, but God has given us enough to show us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And the highest part of us is our spirit. And our soul is the bridge between our spirit and our body. And I want to tell you this to encourage you along the scripture that you have available, that God showed us the same truth in creating Adam and then fashioning Eve. And where did they live? In the garden. I accept that for what it says. I have no problem with that. But who was to rule the garden? Can you help me? The man or the woman who was given the assignment? The man. But to do the job, he needed a helper, right? Okay. Well, in that one illustration I'm giving you, Adam is our spirit. He came first. Eve is our soul. And when there was no sin, was Adam going one way and Eve going another way? How can two walk together except what? They be agreed. What was Satan's strategy? Bring division. And he's still seeking to do that today. But once you see the strategy of the enemy, Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices. Then you can be wise as to how to confront the enemy. And you can face him in your own limited strength. You have to go in the name of the Lord. You have to go through the power of the Spirit. You have to stand against him, as it is said in Revelation. They overcame the devil how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, there is unity when Adam and Eve are one. And where are they living? If they are in unity, the garden is a physical body. And before there was sin, there was unity between God and man. And there was fellowship between God and man. And all went well. But trouble came when the woman acted independently of the man. And the man went along with the woman. Could they live in the garden? No. What happened to them? they were expelled, right? And you know what that is saying? Because the wages of sin is death, the soul and the spirit, or the spirit and the soul, cannot live in the body. And that's exactly what happens at death. When the physical body dies, guess what? The soul and the spirit leave the body to go on to either paradise or to that other realm known as hell. And there is conscious existence after death, though a lot of people try to deny that. And just to show you something, John beheld the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. And where did he see them? Under the altar. I tell you, for many years we read the Bible and we read portions and we can understand, others we don't. But isn't God gracious to us to give us here a little and there a little? And I used to wonder, why did he see these souls under the altar? And they were praying, yes. And he didn't say, I saw the spirits. What did he say? The souls.
It's always been a question to me.
Good question, brother. Because the soul that is washed in the blood of Jesus is cleansed and will not die. And so when you leave this realm as a Christian, your body may go the way of the grave, but your soul and spirit go on to paradise, and you have what is known as a soul body, which is a replica of the physical body. The only thing missing in it are the vital organs of the physical body, but it's like your underwear. Let's say you have your outer shirt, and then you have the inner garment. If you lose the shirt, you have the inner garment. That's the best analogy I can give you. That's why when you're dreaming and you're in the bed, and then you dream you're in another place and somebody's attacking you, and it is so real, it is so real in the dream that you think it's the real you, but in reality, where are you? You were in the bed. So that person that you think is you, in a sense it's you, but it's not the real you. It's just the soul part of you, which is a replica of the physical. And I'm not trying to be difficult. I can't explain the things of God, but the closest I can give you is your soul body is just like your physical body, but it is of a more tenuous structure. And that's all I can tell you. I don't have one yet. But I'm not looking for one like that. I'm looking for one with my spirit and soul and body. Hallelujah. But we thank God for those who are martyrs, those who have gone on. Now, isn't it interesting that when Brother Peter writes about Jesus, and many Bible scholars, they're confused about what Peter wrote, that it says after Jesus died, he went into Hades and preached to somebody in somewhere. Notice, to the what? Spirits. Notice he didn't say he preached to the souls in prison. I just want to show you. I didn't plan this, but I'm not here to speak my own words. Let the Holy Spirit have his way.
Amen.
He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Who were they? Who were disobedient in the days of Noah. Now, people don't want to handle that. And I can understand because it's a lot of controversy over various theories. But I take the Word of God for what it says, and I don't have to defend it. The Word of God defends itself. But here is the thought that will bless you. You know why it doesn't say he preached to the souls in prison? Exactly right, my brother. The soul that sinneth. So death not only affects the body, eventually it affects what? And what part of man is left? You get it? But for a spirit to live on earth, it needs a soul and a body. And as parents, we provide the body. God sends the spirit into the body, and the soul is formed when the spirit enters the body.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Isn't God wonderful?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm just showing you there's a difference between the unbeliever and the believer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. Help me with the next line. I will never desert to its foes. That soul, though hell should what? Should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never. No, never forsake.
Amen. Thank you, my Lord.
That's a mighty verse.
Yes.
If the impact of that gets you, you can't restrain the hallelujahs.
Yes. That's right. Thank you.
No wonder we love that beautiful song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Blessed be his holy name. We're going to study a subject that will involve all three parts of us, spirit, soul, and body. And we will see that God is concerned about the entire human being. Just as he's one and manifested in three, he's made us into his image. So we are one, but we are also three in one. And if you want to pursue it, I'll give you one more thought. And I'll go to the main verse of Psalm 111 that will lay a foundation for our other messages. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Luke chapter 15. Are we agreed on this? Now, you may not be all familiar with that, but the reason I say it's one of the greatest chapters, it's the chapter in which we have the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Right? That's one way to see it. And you have another way to look at it, and that is the rejoicing shepherd, the rejoicing woman, and the rejoicing father. And only Jesus can speak like this. The words of the Lord have always intrigued me. And remember, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Now, how many of us would like to see something we've not seen before this morning? Isn't it true that his mercies are new? How often? Every morning. So when I face a new day, I expect him in prayer to give me new mercies. And new insights into his word. And we should pray that way. And go with me to Luke 15. And I'll show you something I never saw for many, many years. So I used to read this passage from time to time. Luke 15. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Isn't it good that he's known as a friend of publicans and Sinners. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Now, look at verse 3 and see if I'm reading correctly. And he spoke these parables unto them, saying, is it singular or plural? All right. In our haste, we think we have three parables here. I'm telling you something because sometimes God has to correct us. I always say, Lord, if I'm not preaching the right thing, correct me, Lord. We all have our own ideas and ways, and you know, but the truth alone will set us free. Amen? And Scripture is not only given for edification, but for correction and instruction. So we're all learning. And I don't have all the truth. I want to admit that. But I know who is the truth. Yes? And we all love the truth, and we want to walk in the light of the truth. So, I'm just showing you something. He didn't say, and he spoke these parables. That's the first thing. He spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, and so on. Go to verse 7. That's the end of the parable. It says, there'll be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Notice, as soon as that verse ends, it doesn't say, and he spoke this parable. What comes after that? What is verse 8? Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver and so on? Well, we know that's another parable, but he's not using the expression, and he spoke this parable. Go to the end of that, and you come to verse 11, and he said. So why is that? I never even thought about that. You know how you read and pass over. It took me many years before I found what I'm going to tell you without any cost, whatever. Because I love you in the Lord. And we can't buy the things of God with money. Isn't that true? Freely we've received, freely give. Okay. This is one parable in three parts. Are you ready for this? Now you can see them as three parables. Nothing wrong. But it's like the number 111. It's one, and yet it's three in one. So the first parable has something to do with the spirit. The second parable has something to do with the soul. And the third parable has something to do with the body. And whether you knew it or not, God had something to tell us through that verse that is on the board there. God speaks in many ways. And that one parable is showing us the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the woman with the lighted candle. That represents not only the church, but the Holy Spirit working through the church. And the third is the rejoicing father who welcomes the lost home. So what that one parable is saying is salvation involves Father, Son, and Spirit working together as one to redeem the lost creation. Oh, we only think of Jesus and what he did. But who sent Jesus here? And we only think of Jesus going back into glory. But whom has he left here to carry on his work? We were singing it. The young ladies were singing for us. What a tremendous song, There is a Redeemer. And because we're not bound by time here, and that doesn't mean I'll keep you till 3 o'clock, I just want to tell you that what amazes me about God is that there is no competition or rivalry in God. In man's society, everybody wants to get to the top. But before he can reach the top, he has to knock down a number of obstacles, including his fellow men.
Thank you, Lord.
But isn't it amazing? Jesus is one with the Father, and he's willing to come to earth and be submissive to the Father. When he was here on earth, who anointed him to do what he did? The Father, but the Holy Spirit was the channel. He was conceived of the Spirit. He was endued with the Spirit. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils. What was he saying? Finger of God. What is the finger of God? The Holy Spirit, yes. Hallelujah. And now Jesus went back into glory, and he prophesied he would send a comforter, right? And guess what? He that was under the ministry of the Holy Spirit sends the Spirit, and the Spirit is willing to be submissive to the Son. Does that not really speak to you? That there is no rivalry between the Son and the Spirit, or the Son and the Father, but they are working in unity and in harmony. Hallelujah. And what is true in God must be worked out in us. Our problem is our soul wants to write our spirit. And our soul wants to govern the body. And we enter into problems. So I know where the Lord will lead us. And I'm not off the track. I just want to show you the story of the woman who went to draw water at the well Sychar. Right? And who was at that well before she got there? And when she saw the Lord, he was not standing by the well. Here's something. He was sitting on the well. Everything Jesus says and does has tons of meaning. Our problem is we read the works of the Lord, the life of the Lord, and think we're reading just some ordinary book. Not so. Everything about him is meaningful. Why did he sit on the well? Because he was going to introduce the woman to another well. She drank from that well, and whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again. And I'm not going to go into the story except to point out something to you. The word Sychar means drunk. A lot of people may be sober, and you know when you're drunk you can't walk straight and think straight, right? But a lot of people may be sober, but they're drunk with the cares of this life. Jesus said, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for things cause the seed to be hindered from germinating in the parable of the sower. And this woman was saying, when the Lord asked her, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. Right? And what did the Lord say? You've had how many husbands? Five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Look at our society today. Are you not grieved to see how people have desecrated marriage? And people are living worse than the animals. It grieves me to see how low we have sunk as a nation. You can hardly turn on the television or the radio without seeing things that are not right or hearing things that are not right. I wonder how long God will tolerate this kind of behavior. Well, we must continue to intercede and pray God for divine intervention. I keep on praying, and I know you do, in wrath remember mercy.
Yes, Lord.
All right. If Adam represents the spirit, whom does Eve represent? And this is a woman that comes to draw water from Sychar. And Sychar means drunk. The five husbands are the five physical senses of the body. And the soul is drunk by giving in to the five senses. And the soul is separated from the spirit. And that's why when she said, "Give me this water, that I will not thirst again," he said, "Go call whom?" Why did he say, "Go call your husband"? Because you're not going to get salvation if you only wish for it. Many people have a wishbone but no backbone. There can be no salvation until the soul is willing to be joined to the spirit. And then the two must become one. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me. How? What is all your heart? That's more than the soul. Now, I'm no theologian, and I can't explain like the theologians. But I'm a simple person, and all I can tell you is, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not speaking of just that organ that is vital to our physical being. It's the heart is the real you. It's the meeting place of the spirit and the soul. That's all I can tell you, because I don't know anything more. So where the soul and spirit meet, that's your heart. And my spirit and my soul must be joined. When the two are joined together, then God puts faith. The faith that saves us is not faith based on what is seen. For example, you're sitting on an object that you're not worried about that it will collapse under your weight. Human faith is based on things that are seen. But the faith that saves us is not based on what is seen. It's based on the Word of God. Faith cometh how? And hearing by the
Word of God.
So when the gospel is preached and our soul is affected and our spirit, and we get under conviction, sometimes the spirit is willing, but the soul isn't willing. You know that, and I know it. But when you just say, when you come to that place and you sing it, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back." I don't know if you sing that chorus, but that's a beautiful chorus. That means the will and the desire must become one. Then God will put divine faith inside of us. And as we pray, by coming to repentance, God will come and visit us and save us. So, that whole story has tremendous depths of meaning to illustrate the unity that should exist in our inner being, spirit and soul, and eventually working through our body. The woman was so blessed. You know what she did? She left the water pot where? Why did she do that? She found another source. Hallelujah. "The water that I shall give him shall be a well of living water springing up into everlasting life." God was so gracious to her. The Lord gradually revealed himself to her. And when she went into the city, she said, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did do. Is this not the Christ?" And the people came and heard him. And they said, "We believe he is the Messiah." Not only because of what she said, because of what we've heard him say to us. Hallelujah. Well, that's all I'm going to give you this morning. You see, Brother Donnie, I'm very gracious.
Ooh, sure.
And we will continue this theme on the subject of redemption. But before we close, I must ask you to turn to Psalm 111. And the verse that stood out while I was meditating on this psalm is verse 9. Psalm 111. He sent something unto his people. Redemption. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And the word that has stood out for the past 50 days coming on to day 51 is redemption. And you've been singing some songs here on that one word. I cannot comprehend redemption's plan. Well, how can you have redemption without a redeemer? And what is this redemption all about, even though we may know it to some degree? Let us be willing to learn what God has to tell us so we can be established in the truth. Amen? And it's a wonderful verse. And I will say this as we've tried to bring it together now, that this verse, this psalm has 10 verses. Psalm 112 has 10 verses. Both psalms don't have a title to them. And both psalms have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in them. But I'm not going to go into all of that. It's a psalm that has a message for us to affect our life in every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. And as we study redemption, we will see how it works first in the spirit, then it continues to work in the soul, and eventually it's to be completed in what part of us? In our body. And we will study the meaning of this word, though we happen to know it to some degree. And I pray that if our soul is leading us astray, that our soul will be willing to yield to our spirit. And our spirit will be willing to yield to God's Holy Spirit. And instead of discord within us, there'll be unity. And our body will be a servant for the soul and spirit to flow through, that we will live for the honor and glory of God. So I didn't know I was going to go this way this morning, but I believe it will pave the way for this time of fellowship with you saints. And I ask that you will meditate on this word. Any of the songs that you sing with redemption, Brother Allen and others, especially I would like you to sing in every service, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you know that Samaritan woman was willing to yield to the Lord? And let me add this as the dessert on the whole menu here right now. Who was the other man she was living with that was not her husband? He was number 6. That is the devil himself. That's a picture of man drunk under 5 physical senses in bondage to the devil. But who comes to set her free and bring unity within her to get reconciled to her true husband? That is the soul coming back to the spirit and repenting of wanting to go its own way. That's why Jesus says, in your patience, do what? possess or you shall win your soul. That's why the psalmist says, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Our soul is easily upset because it's the seat of the feelings and the emotions. But how about the soul saying what David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So you can't only bless him with your soul, you got to bless him with your spirit. Amen? The two must become one. And then God will come to our aid. Go call your husband. Get reconciled within. If two of you shall agree on earth. The two of you agreeing is the spirit and the soul becoming one. And it can apply to husband and wife outwardly as we stand in agreement, in unity. And how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Praise God. So, when Jesus comes, he's number seven. Five husbands, then the other husband, six. But who is the true husband of the heart? The man who sat on the well.
Amen.
To close that old source of life and open up a new source. So we're freed from the bondage of Satan, from bondage to the senses, and we come under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ.
Thank you,
hallelujah. Amen. Let's rejoice in the Lord this day. And God bless you for your patience. Brother Donnie, am I doing all right? I like to tease him a bit. But you see some places, I told Brother Lester, we were at Brother Jean's a couple of times. He says, how come you finished so soon? I said, brother, that's all the time I had. We can't always keep the people too long, but you know, you folks are accustomed to the 3-hour services and 2-hour services. But I guess the older we get, the wiser we get. Don't you agree? Now, it doesn't mean God may not allow us to go a little distance, but isn't it good to be free in the Lord? And I'm not talking about abusing the freedom, but what I mean is we get so easily upset. How many people get upset when a football game goes over time? I don't see anybody getting upset. Especially in the cold weather hitting Dallas. And, you know, I can't believe it. How many people couldn't fly in time to get there, and some did, and some their souls paid so much money to get into some of the seats and were not given the seats. And they're suing the the manager there. You know, it's amazing how people get so caught up in things that are so trivial. And make all these sacrifices for nothing. And to get us to make a little sacrifice with the Lord, people complaining and grumbling. Oh, beloved, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. But you shall seek me, and you shall find me. Please tell me the rest. With all your heart. Do me a favor, please. Shall we stand?